Hi everyone, welcome to our daily devotionals. Today we're actually going to be starting a new devotional series on the book of Philippians. And this is really going to be going side by side with our current sermon series on joy, rejoicing in the Lord. And Philippians has always been known as a book on joy, what it means for us to rejoice and to rejoice always. And so I'm really excited for us to go through this series on Philippians. And obviously, we're going to start today with Philippians chapter 1, and we'll look at the first 11 verses. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Amen. In our passage today, we see very clearly that Paul is incredibly joyful and thankful for the Philippians. It's quite clear as he gives thanksgiving for them in verse 3 and talks about praying for them with joy in verse 4 and how he holds them in his heart in verse 7. He feels this way about them because they are partakers, or they have a partnership with him in the gospel. And one thing that is implied in this partnership is that the Philippians were loyal and supportive to Paul in both the good times and the bad times. They supported him in his ministry, but they were also supportive of him while he was in chains because they had not forsaken him. Paul was really thankful for them and held them in his heart. We really need to note that this type of partnership wasn't just a mere friendship, but there's also purpose in it, for the purpose of advancing the gospel. It's geared towards ministry. That's the kind of partnership that Paul is rejoicing in. He is filled with joy as he's giving thanks in prayer to them, to God for them. And this joy is flowing out of this reality of the partnership that he has with the Philippians, the church in Philippi, in the gospel. Why is this kind of partnership so important for a Christian life? Well, it's because every believer, every follower of Christ has been called to be a part of God's kingdom work. We've been called, each and every one of us, individually, but also together as the church, to be the salt and light of the world, to continue to be ministers of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are called to advance the gospel, to proclaim Christ wherever we go, in all cities and all nations, that more and more people will come to know who Jesus Christ is, and praying that more people would receive Jesus into their hearts and be baptized and be saved. And that is the kind of mission and ministry that God calls us to. But the reality is that life isn't always full of butterflies and rainbows. There are going to be challenges. Some of us have experienced that already in our walk with the Lord. We've experienced that, whether it came to family or friends or just the reality of how the world may look at the church. We've experienced some level of persecution and hardship and suffering, and Jesus makes it clear in the Gospels that persecution will come. And so what helps us to carry on? What helps us to press on in this race, to press on in fighting the good fight of the faith? Well, I think the answer is brothers and sisters in Christ who we can partner with in the gospel. People who we can link arms with and go hand in hand with into the battlefield, into the trenches, and that we would continue to advance the gospel for the glory of God. This was Paul's heart for the church. This was Paul's recognition of God's mission for him and the church. And he is filled with joy because these believers in the church of Philippi have walked with him through thick and thin. And so he rejoices. Every time he gives thanks to God for them in prayer, he does it with joy. Now, as we look at verses 9 to 11, we see that Paul has this prayer. He has this prayer. He says, "It is my prayer." And he goes on to say what that prayer is. We need to really recognize that this prayer is not just a list of separate requests. They're all connected by connecting words like "so that" or "so." And he's praying that their love would abound with knowledge and discernment, that they would have love combined with knowledge, so that they would be able to approve what is excellent, that they would have wisdom, so that they can be pure and blameless. I think that carries on this aspect of holiness. And that carries on in his prayer to desire a filling with the fruit of righteousness through Christ. There's a picture of being filled to the point of producing fruit for the Lord. And all of this is to the glory and praise of God. What I love about this prayer is that Paul doesn't necessarily pray for better circumstances, but he prays for more love, more wisdom, more fruitfulness, more Christ-like lives to the glory of God in the church. As we look at Paul's letter to the Philippians, how he starts off by sharing with them how he has this heart of gratitude. He gives thanks to the Lord always, every time he remembers them in prayer with joy. And how he prays that their love would abound and that they would be filled with more understanding and discernment and wisdom and holiness and fruitfulness to the glory of God. I think as we look at Paul's prayer, we can follow in his footsteps. We can give thanks to God every time we remember and think of one another. We can make our prayers with joy. When's the last time you prayed for someone in our church with joy and thanksgiving? People you have walked alongside with, people you've served with, people you are partnering with in the gospel. Imagine this. Paul is writing this letter in prison for a reason. There's much that Paul wants to say to them. And when you think about your family members or Symphony Church, perhaps your first prayer is, "God, provide us, help us, have mercy on us, save us, redeem us, forgive us." But Paul's first prayer was to give thanks to God with joy. Perhaps we can do more of this for one another as well. I'm really convinced that how we pray for one another will determine how we treat one another. If we don't pray, or at best only pray when the person we are praying for is having problems, what will be the outcome of how we view that person when we see them? We will think they always have problems, and they become a burden and not a blessing to us. But if we are frequently praying prayers of thanksgiving, in faith, with joy, we'll have a more positive view of one another, and we'll continue to grow together and just be blessed by each other and by how the Holy Spirit is moving in us and through us. And so today I want to invite us to follow in the footsteps of Paul, who prayed to the Lord, to pray to the Father with all joy every time he remembered these partners in the gospel. For me, I think about, as I serve in college ministry, I think about all the college coaches and family group servants and family group co-servants and the family group helpers and even just in our church-wide church as a whole, you know, we have our ministry team leaders, our deacons. I'm thankful for the staff. I'm thankful for the other pastors, Pastor Barry and Pastor Chan, that I can serve alongside with. I am thankful for these partners in the gospel, people who have been with me through thick and thin, people who have continued to walk alongside me. And I want to encourage you to remember the people who have been with you through thick and thin, people who are continuing to serve alongside you. Perhaps it's even people who kind of get on your nerves from time to time, but they are still your partner in the gospel. What would it look like for us to give thanks to God for the ways that they have partnered with you to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ? Let's do this. Let's do this as a church. Let's pray for one another, and let's pray to our God with all joy, giving thanks to God for our partnership in the gospel. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning, your word, perhaps it's not morning for some of us, but Lord, I just thank you. Thank you, God, for the ways that you have been filling us with your joy. But God, we've confessed, Lord, that oftentimes when we view one another, when we pray for each other, it isn't filled with joy and it isn't filled with gratitude. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to know what it looks like to be like Paul in his prayers, to give thanks for the ways that we have been able to partner together in the gospel. Fill us, Lord, with more of this heart of gratitude and heart of joy. Help us to rejoice always, even in our suffering. Help us, Lord, to imagine what Paul went through, imprisoned in chains, and yet he gave thanks for their partnership together. So, Lord, I thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ who we can walk with. Thank you, Lord, for the family of God. And thank you, Lord, that we don't have to do this alone. We pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. Thanks, everyone, for joining us in our devotional today. I pray that you will have a day of rejoicing and a day of gratitude. And hope to see you tomorrow. Have a great day.